that it's really difficult to preach the Sunday after something like Orlando occurs. It's not easy. Especially when most of them were your age. And so I would like to, perhaps, if you could, connect with one another. Hold hands if you can. And share with each other that our community is not done yet. That we have only just begun. And that this will not defeat us. This will galvanize us and keep us strong. Our pride flag is a rainbow flag. It's not a flag of surrender. And we will be strong. We will keep going. And they will know we are Christians by our love and not our war. So can we have a moment of silence for the 49 plus injured? Amen. To introduce my sermon this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about my father. Now, my father was a good Southern Baptist, and then he became a good old Pentecostal. Praise the Lord. And then there was a Methodism somewhere in there, but we don't talk about that much in my Southern Baptist household. I'm so sorry. That's okay. Now, he and I have had an interesting relationship over the years, and if you know anything about my father, or if you've met my father, as Miss Millie and Miss Katrina have before, he is an interesting man, and I want to tell you that his first MCC experience was in Chattanooga, where I was pastoring. And he walked in the door, and he was not used to the way that MCC greets people. He walked in, and, you know, being that we were in the Deep South, people shook hands. And then I have to say, there was one woman who was in our greeter. She was a trans woman. And she came right on up to him and full-fledged hugged him, just kind of brought him in. And so after this service, he didn't say a word. He kept his mouth shut, and he was good, and he was on his best behavior. And he said to me, you know, Brad, service was great. Your preaching was wonderful. It was the first time he's heard me preach, and he said, your preaching was good. But I have a question. And then his wheels started turning. He said, who hugged me? Well, Dad, you know, then I proceeded to say, but she's like, but who hugged me again? So it was a learning experience for him, to say the very least. But I have to tell you, that was where we had finally come to terms with who we are and who we were as a family. He visited me in Augusta. And he tells me all the time that he prays for Reverend Candace.
That's good.
Because he knows that I can be a handful. That was not for you to say amen.
We agree.
It's a full-time job just keeping care of me. But he's proud of who we are. He's proud of MCC. He's come a long way. And he says that he's proud of us because we reach out to a community of people that may have never heard the love of Jesus before. And he says, I am proud of you because you, meaning us, are a community ready to teach others about the power of Jesus Christ and that he still saves. Now, this is similar to our scripture reading this morning. In his writing to the church at Galatia, Paul is deeply concerned about this church. He knows that there are certain negative influences that are infiltrating the church's hierarchical structure and that they're subverting the teachings that he gave to the people. This church, because of what these influences were giving them, were adopting various rules and regulations and laws and structures in addition to their faith in Christ. That in order for them to fully get the faith in Christ, this church was saying, you must do this, and you must do this, and you must be this, and you must have this. They were setting up all these structures and rules and regulations and laws. And one of the commentators writes that Paul believed that under faith in Christ, he argued that one no longer needs the law in a disciplinarian function. One is freed from the requirements of the law. And in his writing to the church at Galatia, Paul reassures his Galatian audience that they are children of God through faith and not through the law. He writes that they are family. They are connected to one another. They have familial connections through Christ, and they're related to one another through him. They are indeed family with God and each other. And you know, last week I've been thinking a lot about the power of family, that we have each other to rely on in sources and in times of trials, and that we rely on each other for strength and love. That's who we are. That's in our DNA as a family. And when I was continuing to think about family this week, I thought of three things. Cue laughter from Cheryl Parmley. Number one, as a family, we are joined together. We are joined together. In our scripture passage, Paul is introducing a new concept to them. He's introducing something that they may not have heard before. And that is the theme of baptism, which they've heard of. The theme of baptism, though, into Christ. He reminds them that this group of believers is joined together not by circumcision or even law, but instead by baptism available to all. He writes that in this baptism we are clothed together with Christ because when they were baptized, they had to wear this white gown, this new clothing that would represent their baptism. They found primary identity and value in Christ. And at the end of the passage, Paul reminds that we are joined together via Abraham and Sarah's offspring, and that we are heirs according to God's promise way back when. That God has not forgotten us. God has not forgotten us. Folks, we are joined together, not just through the power of baptism, but we are joined together by the power of Christ himself. Because we belong to Christ, we fully and equally share in God's promises, and we share in the call to live as God's children and heirs. And when we are joined together as a body of believers, as a motley crew, so to speak, we stand stronger together. We stand stronger together. I want to tell you something that I am very proud of. Sunday morning, after Reverend Candace delivered the benediction, we're a chatty church. We are. We talk during communion. Ooh, was I not supposed to say that? And some of us, as soon as the amen is said, we rush out the door. We do. Some of us walk out the door before the benediction. But that's for another time. But when Reverend Candace gave the benediction on Sunday, nobody moved a muscle. Nobody said a word. And in that moment, we didn't need words. We didn't need movement. No one was rushing out the door. We stayed together. We stayed together. And then we did something even more phenomenal. Without warning, when Reverend Candace turned around and prayed at the altar, we all came with her. We brought ourselves to the most humble of moments, to the most humble of places in this sanctuary. When we joined everybody in prayer, we held hands. That was one of the most powerful moments I have ever seen in this church. We need to do that more often. That we brought our whole selves down here. We joined together. Because when we joined together, there was a spirit that was unspeakable in this place. We knew that when we did that, we were powerful as a unit, and we were strong. Never forget those simple moments when we joined together. Number two, forming right relationship. When we are joined together and when we stand together, we form a right relationship with God and with each other. In the passage before our reading, Paul was strongly focused on faith. Did you hear that word faith a lot in our reading? And that the Galatians and us are brought into right relationship with God by trusting the one who has truly been faithful to us. Later on, when we see the passage as we go through the reading, Paul goes at great lengths to describe how through Christ we were brought into that right relationship. Paul, having a fondness for Jesus Christ, points to Jesus as the embodiment of faithfulness as he had come and was revealed as the Messiah. We need to form right relationships with each other. Over the last week, we have been vilified. If only such and such. We've heard preachers say things about us. We heard politicians say things about us. We heard ordinary people say, well, if y'all just did this, then you would not have had this happen. And people in our own community have said that about us. It's time we stop tearing each other down. It's time that the L and the G needs to stop pointing at the B and the T. Yeah. If y'all really want me to start taking my blood pressure pill, y'all will stop tearing each other down, talking about each other. Talking about each other behind their back, saying, well, this so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. It does not matter. What I learned in recovery programs is that you only have one day. You're not even promised the end of that day. You have one moment. Live it well. And if you have problems with somebody else, you bring it to that person. You tell that person, you reconcile to that person, because at the end of the day, you don't know how long you have. Live your day to the absolute fullest. When you form right, now I'm preaching, when you form right relationship with each other, you understand that your heart is greater than anything else in this world, because you have been given a heart by God and you need to use it. And quit holding it back. Quit making sure that people have it and others don't. Make sure you have that heart and you speak fully to that person. And you speak fully with your heart. We have got to stop tearing each other down. That's not right relationship with each other. That's not even right relationship with Christ. And now I don't even know where I am. See how I talk about y'all are chatty. And it's not just within these walls. It's in the community as well. It's for the people who are not in this church. Reverend Candace and I have been very diligent on working outside these walls to know that at the end of the day, God still loves you unconditionally, because they're not hearing it anywhere else. I have to say that when Reverend Candace walks into a room, the air lightens. She is a steady, calming presence. And people know that we are Christians by our love. That people know that this church cares. And that's only when we form right relationship with each other and with God. Because we embody lessons that Jesus Christ taught us in our life. And finally, my third point, make room for everyone. As a family, we make room for everyone. And for us, that just makes sense. In Paul's day, there were great divisions, very stark divisions, particularly who was free, who was a slave, who was male or woman, who was Jew or non-Jew. One of the commentators stated that there was a book called the Babylonian Talmud. And in that Talmud, there is a blessing to be recited, and this is what it says. There is a blessing to be recited by every man, thanking God for not creating him a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. These three categories had remarkable influence and sway in the ancient world. But Paul, in our love of him, Paul indicated that this declaration in Christ, that in Christ there are no divisions. There is no Jew or Greek. There is no slave or free. There is no male or female. And what Paul, in just that one verse, he was issued in a radical dismantling of identity and boundary markers. Paul declares those markers irrelevant in the body of Christ. And in the family of Christ and with each other, our human categories may describe us, but they do not define us. The author goes on to state this, and I'm going to read this, cut and paste. Quote, "Our continued attempts to categorize and label one another in the church and to diminish one another on the basis of those categories and labels are signs of our spiritual immaturity. Paul reminds us that since Christ has come, we are no longer enslaved to those old divisions. All are justified solely by what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Through baptism into Christ, we belong to Him and to one another. All share fully and equally in the inheritance of God's promises and in the mission to which God has called us." End quote. We provide that equality every single week at this table, where there are no barriers, borders, boundaries, or barricades separating us from God's table. And then on Wednesday, when I was at the service at Joy MCC, I had a preacher talk to us about this woman who was in Puerto Rico, who lived on a mountaintop, who did not have access to much of anything because she had it all in her little village on this mountaintop. And when her grandson passed away on Sunday, she was trying to get a plane ticket home. She found a way to get a plane ticket home by our benevolence toward each other. She came to Orlando, only had a piece of paper. She had no cell phone. The family that she had made connections with, they had no phone in their trailer. She had a piece of paper. But because of who we were, she got there right on time. And in the end, he said, when we make room for everybody, we don't forget the least of these. We don't forget the grandmas in our lives who may not have this access. Because when we make room for everyone, we participate in Christ's family regardless of divisions, because we are one human family on the road trying to figure all this out. So this morning I encourage you, wherever you are in your emotional state, wherever you are when you're talking about the media, know that we are a family, that we are connected by the bonds of Christ's love, calling us forward to join together, to form right relationship, and to always make room for everyone, just as Christ would. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Wonderful God, we give you thanks for today, and as we move forward in our lives, may we continue to know that we are a family bonded together by you, by your promise, by Jesus' life, and by who we are together. May you continue to be our source of life and love and guide us through these days. so that as we continue to progress forward, may we continue to be guided by your presence in this place. Be with us and remain with us now and ever. Amen and amen.